Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bear gifts of mercy for all. Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor, God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy poured out on us richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God give you faith to trust Jesus, who is love born for you, now and always. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Congregation, please read the bold print. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. Now a reading from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At my college graduation, the speaker was the late actor Ron Silver. And I remember him concluding his speech with the words, "If you aim low, you'll never miss."
And I remember a woman sitting in front of me on a warm, sunny day on the Great Lawn for this ceremony and saying with an attitude, remember, I was in New York, thanks, Ron, right? If you aim low, you never miss. I believe Ron's silver sentiment was that we need to take the risk to aim high. But I'm sure there are cynics in the crowd that day that probably felt that if you expect too much and receive nothing, life's just going to be one big disappointment. Perhaps one should just aim low. If you just aim low in life, you can minimize the disappointment. You can manage expectations. Now, our gospel lesson is a continuation from what we heard last week. In fact, it's kind of odd that the lectionary breaks up this one story as awkwardly as it does. But you may recall Jesus is preaching in the synagogues, and in this instance, he's reading from Isaiah. And what we hear today, we can conclude last week, where he says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then what we just heard, things start taking a turn. This is when we could say being filled with the power of the Spirit and quoting Isaiah and stating that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that the workings of the Spirit are not as gentle as we think sometimes. Not as gentle as even we might prefer. And Jesus is pushing some buttons in what he has to say. He refers to two prophets. He refers to two stories that they know of Elijah and Elisha. A theme from Elijah and the widow of Zarephath is that this widow is a foreigner. And this story found in 2 Kings is that this foreigner and widow might challenge us to look differently at those people in our midst that we pay little attention to. Who are the people, the groups of people that we are quick to ignore? Because in this story, we're reminded that it was not only Elijah that blessed this foreigner, but that this foreigner was a blessing to Elijah. And so how can those who are different from us, how can not just we be a blessing to them, but they also be a blessing to us? And then Elisha has a healing story, the healing of Naaman, and also in 2 Kings, and we see faith acted out on foreign soil. So again, the boundaries that we think we've drawn up are not there. What Jesus is getting across here is that God is for everyone and not just a select few, but for all people. Now, abstractly, that might sound nice enough. It did to those in the synagogue that day. They were fine with it until he got specific. What could be wrong with saying this that would fill people to such rage? We can say that all people matter in our society today until we get specific. Let's recall those words that Jesus is reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What sets people off to the point that they want to throw Jesus off the cliff? He's reminding them of stories, their stories. He reminds them of prophets, their prophets. But he reminds them that Gentiles were included in God's blessing and that they can be a blessing to us as well. The fact that we're all gathered here today is evidence of God's expansion love to include all people. But we can say that God loves all people. We can say that every life matters. But when we get specific, people might get enraged. And we've seen this. If it's an immigrant, if it's someone of a different race, if it's someone of a different political ideology from you, someone of a different gender, someone of a different sexual orientation, the second we say that the good news is also for them, we have seen how people can be infuriated with such a declaration in the church. Now, last week I quoted various statements from Martin Luther King Jr. and his call for inclusion. And we know, sadly, that his biblical argument for civil rights was met with anger and violence that led to his own death. And some might argue, if maybe he just continued on with the status quo, just going on with our lives, it wouldn't have come to that. Maybe. Should be noted that there are many other people that were killed during that era that we do not know of, that weren't as loud and prominent as Dr. King. And even if that were the case, there would still be injustice inflicted on our neighbor. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "If I experience freedom from oppression, but my brothers and sisters in Christ or my neighbors do not, my freedom is but a mirage." Aiming low to avoid the consequences of the gospel is not a luxury for us as Christians. The anger that we see in our gospel lesson and some of the anger that we see in our society today comes from, I believe, a deep sense of entitlement and exceptionalism. If the gift is no longer exclusive, if the good news is more inclusive and expansive, then it's just going to make some folks angry. We can probably name examples where anger has led to threats of violence, attempts of violence, and then acts of violence. But God does not respond to our entitlement. One of the biggest heresies of the church in our context, in our lifetime, has been the prosperity gospel, which invokes a mindset of being blessed by God if you do X, Y, and Z. This heresy is a problem on so many levels. For one, it creates a sense of works righteousness, which we as Lutheran Christians should be, no. We do not believe that whatsoever. The blessing and prosperity is now dependent upon your work. It also creates abuse and trauma, spiritual abuse and trauma on people. Because if God's blessing and prosperity is dependent on you and it doesn't happen, then whose fault is it? What do those spiritual leaders or quote-unquote spiritual leaders say? It's your fault. You didn't have enough faith. And if they do not excel, it's not only if they don't excel economically, if people themselves or their loved ones succumb to an illness, they're told it's because of their lack of faith. That's the culprit. But it is also in this idea of the prosperity gospel and our consumer-driven world that creates a sense of entitlement, even with our relationship with God. We reduce God to some kind of cosmic manager. You know, because when we go out to an establishment and our order is wrong at a restaurant, we expect it to be fixed. And if the problem is serious, we ask for a manager. So then you have in the background of our society this sense of prosperity gospel, a sense of entitlement, and then we expect special treatment with God. We like the idea of being part of an exclusive club. Even though it's a loyalty program, we rack up the points that we use to our benefit. Now, if an establishment wanted to give those rewards to everyone, regardless of they belong to the program, regardless of whether or not they've done anything to earn any of the rewards, that would infuriate us on some level, wouldn't it? If I've been going to Panera and Starbucks and earning my rewards, and all of a sudden somebody off the street comes in, it's like, no, I've never signed up. Oh, no, you can get the same discount and rewards as him. I'd be a little ticked off. Now, I understand a lot of these programs are free to sign up for, but I'm talking about giving away to everybody what you think you've rightfully earned. And some people might just walk away from the faith because of that. They've expected more. They felt entitled to more. And there are some that have told me over the years that they don't see the point. They don't see the point of Christianity if all people are included. They want people to be out. That's what they've said. And if that's not the case, they see faith as pointless. They envision a world and a God in which some people need to be cut off from God in the end. That's not the mission of the church. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. That doesn't embody what we heard Cindy read in the second lesson. If you have all these things but not love, you've gained nothing. It's not biblical. So I wonder what Jesus knew, if he knew what he was getting into when they want to throw him off the cliff for proposing and proclaiming a message of inclusivity. I sense he knew exactly what he was getting into. I'm not sure if maybe those words from Ron Silver might be inspiring to you and me today, but in the context of Jesus Christ, And what he does and accomplishes, I think it does. Because in Jesus, God did aim low. In Jesus, God did aim low, but did not miss. Jesus aimed low. He took on our humanity. Jesus aimed low. His ministry were to those on the margins of society. Jesus aimed low. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus aimed low. He descended to the dead. Because of all that, we sing the feast of victory for our God, that life, death, and resurrection that we have in Jesus Christ is something that we can rejoice in because God is making all things new. As we hear Paul says, Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Our Lord did not miss. Now, does that victory and realizing that we've received everything in Christ, does that fill you with joy or does that fill you with resentment? If it fills you with joy, then we too need to aim low in our ministry. We need to aim low in the ministry we've been called to carry out as the body of Christ. That new creation is underway. Our mission continues, and it continues to expand to include all persons who have been ignored and shunned in our world today. And we know from prophets old and new and from our Lord Jesus Christ that our message and ministry will be met with resentment in this world. But Jesus is with us. And when we are with Jesus, we cannot miss. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance. So we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Guide your church in the ways of faith, hope, and love. Cultivate ministries and communities of compassion that bear witness to your enduring presence among us, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Teach us to live in humility on the earth. Curb arrogance that leads to destruction of natural resources and disregard for future generations. Inspire the work of scientists who urge us to live in harmony with your creation, God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace. You are the refuge of all who seek hope and freedom. Accompany immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers who cross borders to find safety and opportunity. Embolden leaders to draft compassionate policies on behalf of migrants and those who assist them, God of grace. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Comfort with your love all who are lonely, fearful, or brokenhearted. Sustain the hope of those who suffer in body or spirit. We especially pray for the Beale family, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Perry and Barb, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. We give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted in your care, O God of grace. Your grace falls upon young and old alike. Bless the gifts of children in this congregation and in this community. Give us humble hearts to follow their leadership. Inspire us with their laughter, their insight, and their curiosity. God of grace. Holy God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in the armed services and their chaplains. God of grace. We praise you for those who have gone before us and now see you face to face. Abide with us in this mortal life until we rest in the arms of your never-ending love. God of grace.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
We continue with an offering. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table. Nourish us with this heavenly food and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, of the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Holy God, author of time, one among us, breath of our bodies, you are as close to us as skin and infinite as stars. You came to us as Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter and rabbi, who in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim today the Lord's blessing, present in our time just as in ages past, building the communion of saints, even from our own bodies. Bless us with your presence. Give us here a foretaste of the feast to come. Let your Holy Spirit infuse our hearts and minds with joy so that we may live to praise you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and for anyone participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine, but if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have a tray of glass cups and will release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to God's table. There's a place for you and enough for all. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, foes abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, foes abound. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, foes abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, foes abound. Jesus calls us and sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share, God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, foes abound. Pass the word around, foes abound.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your house. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all, strengthened with the richness of your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, send in the word, strengthen in the sight, sent into the community, share the love of Jesus. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in, today and forevermore.
You are my
go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.